come back to smell you later.
I cannot believe the conversation that we just had off mic.
Oh, my God.
Well, love to record a podcast with your best friend.
Your favorite podcast.
About...
about living your truth.
I'm not going to say it. Yes, no. Living your truth in every way. Living out loud. Mm-hmm. Smelling out loud.
Smelling out loud.
Before we forget and blow our chance to do this at the top of the episode again, reminder that we have a fragrance swap coming up on May 7th from 6 to 9 at Talea Williamsburg. We are all very excited about it. We've already had a great RSVP response, and we're really looking forward to it.
Yes. We have treats in store. We won't tell you what they are.
Yeah.
But you just have to freaking come.
I will say that's like an actual thing.
Yeah.
I got something out of my skin and of course.
I'm like genuinely.
Yeah.
I was so like, it's already so much work to do this. And you were like, I'll do it.
I was like, I'll do it all. It's fine.
And I was like, okay. And then seeing the returns, I'm like, oh.
Yeah. So we just have a surprise in store for the first 50 attendees. Anyway. but more on that later. Also, I just want to say, like, if you're afraid to come alone or whatever, which I'm, like, always afraid to go anywhere alone, don't be. Yeah. We're all there to smell and talk and have fun.
You will make friends.
You'll make friends.
Yeah.
It is a safe space for everyone to come and smell and enjoy and talk or not or whatever.
I truly wonder if that's a deterrent. Do people, if they don't have anyone to come with, will they not go to
I think so. Thing? Fucking half the time, I don't even want to go to a PR thing alone. But
yeah, I get that there are a lot of people like that. I think depending on what it is, I'll just push through.
Totally.
Because I just really want to do that thing.
Yeah.
Maybe this is like also a New York City thing where there's just so many more opportunities to do stuff alone. Sure. Go to a restaurant alone. Go see a movie alone. Once you do those things, you're like, oh, this is normal.
Yeah, it is. But that's alone alone. This is alone in a group. You know
what
I mean?
But there's activities. So there's always icebreaker moments.
Totally. Yeah. If you want to come but are worried about coming alone, don't be. We've all been there. But it's going to be a really fun time. We're really looking forward to seeing everyone. Reminder, it is a free event. All we ask is that you RSVP so we have a head count and that you support Talea by getting a beverage, alcohol, or not, or a snack, whatever. They are graciously hosting us, so we do want to support them.
Yeah, make us look good.
Yeah, that's what it is. Thank
you. Mostly that.
Yeah.
Don't embarrass us.
I'm really excited. Yeah.
Anyway. But like, I just saw on Talea's Instagram, they revamped their menu. Mm-hmm. And there's all these new snacks. So I was like, ooh, okay.
Talea's honestly, I don't say this lately, my favorite place in New York. In all five locations. No, it's great. I'm really excited. So
they have this biscuit that I really need to investigate. I'm like, night biscuit.
Biscuit, you
Let's
say.
See.
They have a draft list I need to investigate.
Yep. I'm very excited. I'm like, as an introvert, I didn't realize that event planning would be so fun.
Yeah.
And exciting.
And I think that this is just the beginning of some other things.
Mm-hmm.
I do say that as ambiguously as possible because I'm not sure what those other things would be. But yeah.
Things have been spoken about.
Yes. As they usually are. See you there.
Yes.
Sable has her hair in two, what do you call those?
Braids.
Okay. And it looks like you have so much hair.
My hair got super long, man. And it's always been really thick. And I think thick plus length is just, it's everywhere. I'm like choking myself in my sleep.
Yeah.
Now I understand why people wear bonnets to sleep. I'm like, it's so your hair doesn't suffocate you.
Sure.
How is your PRP injection?
Fine.
Have you finished the...
Yeah. I think, and I'm worried that I dropped the ball on this. So maybe saying it on the show will help me pick the ball back up. I went to 3 PRP appointments once a month, which is... necessary. Yeah. And then they say you start to see results in 6 months after, which I think I'm like right in there, but I should just make a fucking appointment and go back in to check up on it. And
have you written the piece?
No, because I want to see if there's results yet, but it's also, it's hard to gauge when would be, I do think I've seen positive results. I'm still like not happy with where it's at.
But like for the expense of the procedure, I'm like, I better see some goddamn results.
Yeah, that. But it's also, it's not a hair transplant. Yeah. They are softer results than, are like less impactful results than something more invasive. So it's, but I need to just go back in and see how we're doing. But yeah, I'm still working on it, I guess. Mm. Still doing some other things, but still insecure about it.
Well, for the record, I've never noticed.
Thank you. It's all I see. Appreciate that.
Oh man, I was taking passport photos this week because I have to renew my passport. Mm-hmm. And you can do it at home now with your phone, but the parameters are very specific. It has to be a white background. It has to be evenly lit.
Okay.
And there has to be a certain amount of space around you. Mm-hmm. But because it's an ID photo, like you have to just look straight on at the camera.
Yeah.
Like you can't like...
You can't like turn it.
Yeah, like you can't like give.
You can't serve.
You can't serve. You have to give mugshot. But as I'm taking them, it's like the most like straight angled shots I can take. I was like, wow, I did not realize that my face is so asymmetrical. Mm-hmm. I'm like, my eyelids are clearly askew. I'm like, they're going to think I photoshopped this and I didn't. But yeah, getting these photos taken, I'm like, I really hope they don't accuse me of doctoring these photos. Because
I think it'd be more of a red flag if your face was perfectly symmetrical. You know what I mean? So. If you look like a mirror image of yourself. Yeah. That's when they'd start to ring the alarm.
Yeah. I was looking at my old passport photo from 10 years ago. And like, I remember going to the office and being like, okay, I have my makeup done in a certain way. And I didn't realize they use a flash and my entire forehead is just white. Also, I was like, guys, come on, do a little bit of color correction, please. And like light correction. Like there's a white square on my forehead. Please.
Help me out. That's so funny.
Anyway, Tynan, what do you smell like today?
So Fugazi sent us all of those samples and I finally got to it. And I've been having the time of my life going through with them. Ooh. I really like that the whole collection leans sweet. It's definitely, they're definitely not afraid to go, I don't want to say gourmand because there's different types of sweetness, but it's a very sweet collection. I love it. The one, and I hate to be predictable, and I tried to get myself to wear something else, but I'm wearing Vanilla Haze. I know that everyone's doing their vanilla right now, and I really, have you worn this?
I haven't worn it on skin, but I've smelled it, and it's nice.
It's so nice. It's just, it's not reinventing any wheel, but it is so satisfying, and it just scratches all the itches that you want, that I want a vanilla to scratch. It's if you took Kaoli vanilla, like a true sort of baking vanilla, and then you took Lush's approach to spice, like the baking spices of the nutmeg, etc. It's that. It's very familiar and it's very enveloping, and not a lot new going on. Like when I smell, and not that you know, it's not a prerequisite to be good, but it's not a vanilla powder that strikes you like, whoa, what the fuck is this, or a vanilla smoke. It's definitely everything you love about vanilla and baking in the kitchen all in one. And yeah, I think Fugazi has more interesting fragrances than this, but this one is just so good I couldn't resist. I really tried to push myself to wear something else, but I was like, well, that's what I wear, so fucking wear it. The top is mandarin, coconut, almond, and hazelnut. The middle is vanilla pod, tonka bean, and jasmine. And the base is creme brulee, white amber, and sweet musk. And I think that's a perfect sort of description and amalgamation. I don't want to say I was like not excited to wear this because I love vanilla. Obviously, that has not changed, even though it's so highly trending right now. I was just sort of like, well, I probably know what that's going to be. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I really love it. They also sent me a full bottle and I'm really happy that they did. I love this. But yeah, I've really been enjoying working my way through. I love Workaholic, which is a coffee one. Which is good. It's like a boozy coffee. Like I almost thought it was rum to start. And then as it wore, I was like, oh no, this is coffee. As much as I really didn't want to. I love the one, what's it called? Meth Lab. But what's the one? It has a fucking name like that.
Angel Dust?
Yes, Angel Dust.
Meth Lab.
Okay, not that far. Yeah. I do, in spite of myself, like
Angel Dust. I like Angel Dust.
It's like if you took Baccarat Rouge but made it, I don't know what. It's like
That's
really
a great way to put
transparent, glassy sweetness that is really nice.
It's again, like, that freaking like Ambroxan.
No, I haven't hit one that I haven't liked. Oh, the one you told me about it, then I wore it. Passion fruit.
That's an interesting one.
Fruit and oud one. Yeah. Again, I'm not God's strongest soldier for ouds. I can't be doing it like that. But that one I did appreciate. And I like it more than the Maison Crivelli passion fruit oud because that one, as many ouds are, is just all oud. And this one is very still oud forward, but you do get a heavy passion fruit in it too. I wouldn't wear it, but it's nice. Yeah, I don't know. Shout out to Fugazi.
They're fun. Yeah. And they're like I feel like they're a little edgy.
They are more irreverent. I didn't know shit about this brand. So I was going in dry, but they are irreverent and fun.
Yeah.
The copy is a mess, but it's very ChatGPT-ified.
I think a lot of the names are like drug nicknames.
Yeah. So in like, love with the Cocos.
Yeah, yeah.
There was one. Oh, fuck. It was Saint something.
Saint Remy.
Thank you. I don't know how you remember that.
I was just looking at them earlier.
Smelled a lot. Very similarly to Morning Chess from Wilhelm. Oh. And I love that. I love that fragrance so much. And this was approaching it, not super similar. Am I contradicting myself? It was in line with it. Uh-huh. I really enjoyed that one. In Love with the Cocos, obviously coconut. I didn't actually love as much as I expected to. It's a very floral coconut, which I think would appeal to a lot of people, not me. Yeah, it's but like it's nice.
White floral.
Love it. Yeah. Anyway, I think this collection's great.
They're really nice.
Yeah.
I am curious. I feel like I've seen the brand pop up on my later discovery page on Instagram. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I haven't seen a lot of people talk about
them. Yeah, I don't really know anything about them. We should have them on.
Yeah, they were
Emma
like,
knows exactly what she's
Emma
doing.
Emma was like, very much so, you should have this dude on. He's crazy. Let's she didn't say he's crazy, but she said he was a character. So yeah. I was like, cool.
Oh, she sent me that pineapple fragrance from Wilhelm.
Do you like it? Is that the Sun
Cities? City? Sun Cities, yes. Yeah. Yes. I haven't worn it on skin yet. Okay, but actually,
okay. I'm curious.
Actually, I think I did wear the sample. Anyway, I love it.
They're so good.
They're so good. Sable, what do you smell like today?
I went a little bit back and forth on this fragrance, and then I decided, no, I'm going to go with my original gut feeling, which is that I like it.
Okay.
That is Montale Arabian's Musk. It's one of their new Arabian's flank, because there's Arabian's Tonka, which is the original.
Okay.
And I liked that a lot. And then they came out with Arabian's Musk. I feel like there's a third one. I don't remember.
Okay.
This smells to me like it's a very comforting, powdery, but it's got like a really nice, soft, plushy texture to it. It's not like a thin, airy, translucent, powdery scent. It's quite thick and creamy.
But yeah, no. When I smelled it on you get the musk, but it's heavier when it comes to musk, I would say.
And somebody said it smells like lotion.
Okay.
Like a body lotion. And I was
Nivea?
Yeah, like kind of like a Nivea almost.
Sort of gives that, huh?
And I think that's what drew me to it and then like secondarily repelled me because I was like, ugh, lotion.
It's quite powdery.
Yeah, it's quite powdery. But then I was like, no, I like it. It's comforting. I always feel very cozy when I wear it.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the notes and I was like, I would not have thought that at all.
What are they?
It says, a delicate blend of honey, orange blossom, and medjool dates. Blah, 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 blah. Tonka beans, sweet vanilla. Yeah, that's all they call out.
Tonka beans, sweet vanilla. Okay.
Tonka and vanilla, I feel like sister ingredients.
Yeah,
they're different things, but they're always together. Or they're like, this vanilla isn't like your usual vanilla, and then use tonka bean. So
right.
It's like, okay, right. Technically you can say that, but sure.
Sure. I think tonka it's sweeter, but it's more of a round, it's a softer sweetness, where vanilla is like, can be saccharine, tonka's warmer and rounder.
I smelled the raw ingredient tonka last week at a Mate Premier event. And to me, I was kind of like, I see how this smells like a bean.
Sure.
Like,
okay. Is it a bean itself too? Oh, tonka bean, obviously.
Oh, that was the ingredient that they put in the extract.
Oh, tonka. Okay. All right.
Anyway, so I'm not going to talk about that now because it's too far away. But I would not have thought honey. I can't pick out the honey or the orange blossom. Maybe a little bit of the date. A little bit.
That's
cool.
I don't know that I've ever smelled a fragrance with a date in it.
I love to eat dates.
Yeah, same.
And like dates are a great, like I would always put them in like smoothies as like a natural sweetener.
Yeah.
And they have this really like creamy, almost like honeyness themselves a little bit. But it's really nice. It does smell like a bit like a mommy scent.
I don't like wherever you're going.
Well, I get like maternal coziness vibes.
A mommy scent. You were like going to hell for that one.
Something about it is giving like mommy dearest. I think it's like very conservative.
You can be musky and powdery without being conservative. We don't have to.
Yeah. Not conservative in the political way. Conservative in like when people are like, I don't like to smell too much.
Sure. Sure.
Like I like to smell like pleasant.
I don't. For the millionth time, I'm not a huge fan of musks, but this is nice.
Yeah. It's nice. I like that it's like hefty. Like it's not like a thin musk.
How would you compare it to Ana Malik from Byredo?
Oh, very different. Ana Malik is much more like vanilla. I feel like there's more earthiness.
I ask because that one I feel has the same weight as this musk has, but it obviously smells much different.
Yeah. I think Ana Malik is a lot dirtier and I like that about it.
Yeah. It's not as powdery as this.
Yeah. This is super powdery. Yeah. But it's really nice. It's just like such a comforting scent. And it's funny. There's like a horse illustration on the bottle. And I'm like, okay.
This bottle's really pretty. I don't like the horse illustration, but the brown
horse
is pretty.
Yeah. I think Arabians refers to like the kind of horse, I think. Which like, okay. I like how Montale does the aluminum bottles. It's cool. I don't have to worry about breaking this.
Yeah.
And they have this weird little like neck brace as the cap.
Yeah. It's like in place of a cap, it's got like a collar.
Yeah. But yeah, we have not gotten too far deep into the Montel collection yet. Mm. They have so many scents.
So many, yeah.
Yeah, and it was only until we found a PR contact.
Well.
Do you want to talk about that rebrand?
No. Do we have a voice note?
We do.
Okay. Let's just do that instead. Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, longtime listener here. I know you guys are probably going to talk about this, like as a larger part of maybe one of your next episodes, the Boy Smells rebrand. I personally have mixed feelings. I kind of like the new packaging. They're not the clunky old caps. They brought back a good number of the old fragrances, but they've reformulated a lot of them. But it really does feel like they're like, we got to make more money. We got to make more money in Sephora. They seem to be pivoting to the TikTok white girl. and they're going the way of like a Fleur or even like Sniff in the past 2 years, where they really just stopped with their more unique blends and they're just kind of going for basic. I think what kills me here is some of the copy and the branding. Like the branding used to be so like lush and descriptive on the copy. And I know both of you have insight on all of this here, but I would love your thoughts. It really does feel like they've watered down the brand. We'll see what they have out, but Cocoa Cream seems basic. All of a sudden, Vanilla Air is an espresso martini fragrance, which it never was. You know, Violet Ends is a clean girl fragrance. Like, I don't know. I'm very mixed. We'll love your thoughts.
Okay, well.
We've gotten a lot of DMs about this, like quite a few. Yeah. For the past like 3 to 4 weeks, I will say.
Yeah.
And it's funny because all of them have the same prevailing sentiment towards it, which is that.
Yeah.
Nobody likes it.
I feel like I'm going to be talking a lot.
Okay. I get why people don't like it. And I get why this brand in particular, it feels so egregious.
Yeah.
So, I will let you elaborate.
So it's funny. Boy Smells rebranded. Yeah, obviously. Yeah. And I started seeing them tease it. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like a rebrand. Great. And okay, actually, to keep myself accountable, I did reach out for samples. It was before the rebrand fully launched. Mm-hmm. Had I seen the full rebrand, I would not have reached out about it. Mm-hmm. But they actually didn't send the samples. So apparently their PR is as bad as a rebrand. But I have said up and down on this podcast, the 4.5 years we've been doing it, I love Boy Smells, blah, blah, blah. I've been writing with them since they started, since they were a true like mom and pop indie brand. I had their Vogue exclusive when they launched the Fine Fragrances. I moderated a panel for them in 2022, right. Blah, blah, blah. I even met my boyfriend at a Boy Smells event. It goes, it runs deep.
Yeah.
And I really love the past tense of this brand. Oof. And, but when we talk about a rebrand, it's like, a rebrand is not one thing. It is many things that make up one thing. And I think it's important to take that all apart and really hone in on what is fact and what's opinion. Because, and this is not a defense of the rebrand, I hate it. I'm like low-key disgusted and saddened by it. But it's not all bad. But when you put it all together, it's not good.
Okay.
So.
I feel like a lot of people are taking this rebrand quite seriously and quite personally. And it's like eliciting like very strong reactions. And to me, I'm like, I don't have strong reactions to things very often. So I'm just like, okay.
This is the most us conversation.
I know. It's funny because everyone's so ugly. And part of me is like, I think the bottles are cute. But I think that. You know what?
That's a fair point.
If this was a new brand, some random ass brand that just launched with this look, I would have been like, I think a lot of the same people would have been like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
But I think because it's a rebrand and it's taking away from something else.
Yeah.
It's immediately like, this is how ugly.
Well, it's funny because I often overreact to like shit like this. But I really like the idea of a brand and like how you move and how you communicate, whatever.
Yeah.
So when I started really feeling resistant to this, I was like, oh, there she goes again. But to your point, I'm not the only one. Like all these people on social media are whacking this brand. There have been really solid pieces in Beauty Independent and Glossy. There was something on the Glossy podcast and Puck used it as a way in to talk about Sephora's fuckery. But as a quick historical recap, Boy Smell's whole thing was about being a queer brand.
Yeah.
Their whole thing was like, quote unquote, genderful fragrances. Yeah. They didn't gender anything. It was like they were for all genders, for all expressions of queerness and sexuality. It was very queer forward. They were like breaking the binary of fragrance and who it's for. And yes, in 2025, that sounds a little like, but in 2015, it didn't. It meant something. Mm-hmm. And it still means something because that was the true through line of their brand and their brand lifespan. And they really, I know we say up and down on the show, like, fuck brands, and true, but they really did put their money where their mouth is consistently in the 10 years that they've been around. And I appreciated that as a queer person and a queer person in fragrance. It meant something to me. Mm-hmm. And I think people's very emotional reaction to this shows that they were doing something right, because the way that you sell product is with features and benefits. The way that you sell a brand is through emotion.
Yeah, for sure.
And the way that you create, me trying not to say like retention, the way that you create brand loyalty is through emotion.
Yeah.
You know?
And like consistency and commitment to what you've chosen to make your brand.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is what they did. And I think like the very severe reaction to this shows that they were doing something really right for a really long time. Now, sorry, I have notes. I just didn't want to fucking do a heated, incoherent ramble for once in my goddamn life.
That's what the people love.
I know. In the last 18 months, call it a year, I've been noticing that on their socials, their visuals have started to go very Y2K, very Gen Z, which is great. I understand that. Yeah. And it's
everyone's trying to sell to Gen Z. Yeah. They don't have money. They're in debt.
But it's a lot easier to spend $3,000 to $5,000 on a social campaign than do like a rebrand. So it's like, okay, I get it. I don't love it. I don't think it really gels with what the brand is. Not to say it's not Gen Z, but it's not. A brand doesn't have to be one thing.
But like, I feel like every brand like has to choose a demo and market to it. And I'm like, I don't think that's it. Especially for everything. Yeah.
That's what's great about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was seeing all that and I was like, I feel a type of way about this, but it doesn't surprise me. Whatever. Mm-hmm. You got to sell your product. It's fine. Because at the end of the day, it's a brand. We get it. So all that to say, with the queerness of it all, Boysmells had some of the most striking componentry.
Yeah.
That,
a cap bigger than the bottle.
Yeah. But they also, the componentry weaved their story. The visuals personified the story. I know an inanimate object can't personify something. Don't start with me. But like they would always say by their own admission all the time, like a black vessel with a pink label, but it says boy.
Yeah.
And then when it came to the fragrance, that big, as our lovely caller said, Kalenki cap, which I liked. It was sort of phallic, but it sort of was like an abstraction of a uterus.
They said it was like an urn.
Yeah.
Or like a chalice.
A chalice.
Which is something symbolic of femininity as well.
Yeah.
So it was like it's all in one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I just appreciate it. And I know it's marketing, but that's how you build a brand.
Yeah. Also, like, no one does caps bigger than the bottle. That's just cool to me.
It's cool. Yeah. It's cool. So when they started teasing this out with new componentry, with new bottles, because they started showing the perfumes first, I was like, okay. And yes, they looked very different. They were a very different shape. They were much more colorful. But it didn't really bother me because, in their defense, Boysmells has been around for 10 years.
Yeah.
It doesn't shock me that they'd want to rebrand.
Yeah,
it's not the end of the fucking world. Sure. And they're also, they've gone mass now. You want your favorite brands to sell out. And especially small queer brands, go get the check, whatever. So that didn't bother me. I was like, okay, maybe not the decision I'd have made, but fine. But then, you know, a brand can look however it wants as long as their ethos stays the same or at best evolves with them. Mm-hmm. But where the real problem started is the messaging. So
I've not read the messaging.
Let me save you the trouble.
Okay.
The big problem is they've completely removed the queerness from all of it. I was told that there's like one mention of being genderful somewhere on the site. I was looking around last night and for the life of me, I could not find it. But all that like pushing boundaries, breaking the binary, being genderful, being queer is gone. And I know, again, it doesn't mean the same thing in 2025 as it did in 2015, but that was Boysmells' soul of the brand. That was their reason to believe.
Uh-huh.
And it's nowhere to be found. What is there is this copy that is a disaster. It sounds like they took the 200 most trending TikToks of the last year, put them in a ChatGPT, and had to spit out this.
I genuinely want to know if they used ChatGPT to write that.
No, because if they did, it would be cleaner copy. Ooh. There were fucking typos all over the website.
Oh, no.
And that's another thing. That, like, it was just messy. Kara and I were, like, texting about it the Friday at launch. I was like, what is this? Copy editor Kara. I pulled some copy. Don't worry. Violet ends. Oh, wait.
Not my favorite one.
Yeah. Okay. Violet ends. The mysterious fave is entering its clean girl era. Ew. Less smoky eye, more earthy gaze. What?
Wait, gaze, G-A-Z-E?
Yeah.
What?
I have no idea. Rosy Cheeks, which is a new fragrance. A nostalgic nod to fruity Y2K favorites and perfect companion for your low-rise jeans. What?
That doesn't make sense to me.
No, no. Sugar Baby, which, come on.
Hilarious.
A hot girl skin scent. Perfect, the perfect partner in crime for all your baddie moments. I'm just like,
what the fuck?
What the fuck is this?
I would. They could have just. That's such a great opportunity to be tongue in cheek and be like the perfect scent to take his money.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what the hell?
I noticed they called that a hot girl scent, but other places they called other things hot person scent. So it's like you can't even figure out who you're talking about here.
Yeah.
So this is where the problem starts.
Or there's another one too. There's like a cocoa one.
But there's a coconut one too, yeah. I
whatever.
Got too angry.
Wait, did they change the name to Violet Ends from Violent Ends?
It was always Violet Ends.
Oops.
It was obviously obviously a play on Violent Ends.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the problem. Frankly, the brand, again, can look however it wants. But the way you feel about the aesthetic is your opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's subjective, whatever.
I don't think the aesthetic is as egregious as all of this marketing copy.
Yes.
However, as soon as the marketing copy had the effect that it had, and this happens to like everything, mm-hmm. when people don't like something or they feel like they've been wronged by something or someone, I feel like they immediately go after looks.
It's just, again, it's greater than the sum of its parts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they were still messaging or even evolved the messaging, uh-huh. of course you're not going to keep the same copy from 10 years ago, but like largely saying the same shit, I think people would be reacting quite differently, deservedly. I think this
copy's bad.
Bad.
This copy's very bad.
Like the Gen Zification, and don't whack me because I'm getting there, but like the Gen Zification of the copy and the bottles and completely removing the queer ethos from it, it's a bad look.
It's giving like someone's holding a gun to your head off screen.
And it's, if we can remember, not 12 months ago, Boy Smells did a fucking Poppers fragrance for Pride.
I remember that.
For those that don't know, Poppers are a casual party drug that many gay people use. But it's like, how are you going to fucking do that and then come at me with it? Like, it's just like...
And okay, the prevailing theory is that this is a Sephora initiative.
Well,
and
it's been confirmed that Sephora...
Oh, really?
Yeah, that Sephora led this. They confirmed that, I believe, in Beauty Independent. I have them all linked here.
They were like, we did this because Sephora said they wanted us to rebrand.
They wanted to remain competitive, yeah. Which, again, this could look exactly how it looks.
Yeah.
And they could keep the same reason
I feel like they could have also, if they wanted to be like stand out on a shelf, you could have, instead of the black caps, you could have made them different colors. Maybe that's more expensive. I don't know.
Even, again, the aesthetic of it all is less of a problem, but holistically, it looks gross.
Ugh.
It's don't try to market to Gen Z with visuals.
They're
and
trying to
copy
get those,
and
like,
fuck it all
Sephora
up.
Sephora tweens.
But also, Gen Z isn't a monolith. Gen Z is not an algorithm. And more than anything, Gen Z is not stupid.
No.
Like, they're not going to look at this and want to buy it. They're going to look at this and say, what 45-year-old dude in a marketing
meeting? I think, like, Gen Z are the most astute with pointing out, like, industry plans. And, like, fake-ass marketing tactics. So it's like, they're not the people to try and pitch this to.
It's insulting to them. It's insulting to everyone. And the thing of it is, they could have put out the bottles exactly how they did and still have we wanted to reflect all the facets of being genderful and queerness and blah, 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 whatever. There is a way to tell this story in a way that feels 2025, but is still authentic to where you came from, but they were clearly, it is intentional. The queer washing of this is, or lack thereof, I guess, is very intentional, and we can't come on these fucking microphones every week and say beauty is political the way you spend
your money. I think also, I think everyone's already on edge and everyone's hackles are already raised because, like, in the year of this administration, 2025, like, we're all waiting. What's the next one of our rights that's going to be taken away?
But I mean, this is the thing. It's,
this feels extra like insult to injury.
Yeah. And it's not an accident. It's with the conservatification of our country and culture.
This is a Republican rebrand, though.
This, it's not. Doing it in this time feels extra nasty.
I read a tweet. User Days and Confused. This is the worst rebrand I have ever seen. The Temuification of an already targetified indie brand. Little pearlescent elf bars for TikTok influencers to click their nails against. Ooh, that's
it's a nasty
word.
That's
rough. I wouldn't even hide this in my top drawer.
Boy smells-
the nails clicking.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ouch.
So the brand did respond to Beauty Independent's request for comment saying, We respect every individual's right to express themselves. That's a core value of our queer-owned and led brand. So we welcome the discourse, even if we've admittedly been surprised by the reaction. Yeah. The brand has struggled the last 4 years, and we would hope that a community that we've supported and who has supported us for the last decade would give us a chance to show them all sides of what we have in store, which will never stray from our queer DNA. That said, we've had the best sales across all channels of our 4 years. Our products perform better, last longer. They're less expensive and still gay. We'll be showing and not telling the next few weeks with our marketing rollout that we haven't changed all that much. I call bullshit as loud as possible. Mm. Not to be like marketing 101, but when you rebrand, that is your one chance to redefine your brand. You get all of your main messaging points out there front and center first day, first week. You double down, you triple down on who you are, what you're about. There is no fucking marketing rollout of our messaging. And even if that was the case, if you were a queer brand, it wouldn't be the thing you deprioritize. It would be what you fucking leave with. Don't talk to me about your fucking marketing rollout. I'm pissed. I'm sorry. It's gross.
And it just doesn't make sense. This is like talking out of two sides of your mouth.
Because it's bullshit. Yeah. It's bullshit. If it mattered, you would lead with it. Just like you have for the last 10 years. Where's that?
So they didn't speak to anything specific. They just said overall. Like, that's their response overall.
I guess.
Okay. And it's like, I would have been curious to be like, what about this copy?
Also, what the heck? I'm sorry, but... And we would hope that a community that we've supported and who has supported us... Fuck you. Oh, sorry. Maybe I should come down. But it's just, like, manipulative.
Yeah.
And to be fair, they have supported the queer community with their money, but... It's
something
just like,
about that feels ominous.
It feels
and a little bit
gaslighty.
Gaslighty for sure. Definitely very ungenerous. But
Ew, I hate it. I hate it.
Also, it's like you're a brand. We are consumers. We don't. This isn't like as much as like the word community has been abused to the point of like nonsensical meaning. Like community now just means marketing group, honestly.
Yeah.
Or like consumer demo.
Audience. Yeah.
Yeah. Audience. Sure. You provide a product or a service and we buy into it insofar as we need it or want it based on what you've told us it does or stands for. And so if you change what that stands for, then like we have no...
We're allowed to be pissed off.
We have no obligation to continue buying into it.
You're right. And I agree with you. I realize it's a brand. It's not a nonprofit. Yeah. And I guess they're just like any others. But this is one that... mattered to me. So if that makes me a hypocrite for talking shit about whoever the fuck I talk shit about on this mic every week, then fine. But
well,
like,
because they've made it political by tying so much about queer identity
into
it. And they can't extricate that.
No. Yeah. And even
and expect people to support them.
Not to get like even too far in the weeds with it, but their visuals are very sensorial. They're very close up. Their models are used, but only from the I guess like nose to clavicle. So they're very tight crops of them.
A lot of necks,
Of like eating fruit or tasting sugar. It's stylistic, it's cute, whatever. But they're all women. And yes, you can't determine someone's gender by looking at them, but like you could have thrown a beard in there.
Yeah.
You could have thrown a man in there just to widen the scope a bit, but you didn't.
Yeah.
So it sucks and it bums me out. I guess that's the long and the short of it, really the long of it.
This flop reminds me of when Glossier tried to do Glossier Play.
Oh my God. Right.
Which again, not a rebrand, that's a brand extension brand, or it wasn't cheaper, so you can't call it the...
Diffusion
brand. Yeah, it's not a diffusion brand because it's not cheaper, but Glossier Play, as like fun as it was, went directly against the ethos of Glossier, which was your skin, but better. Mm-hmm. So everyone was like, no.
Yeah.
I found it strange that the thing people really like glommed onto was the plastic glitter. Cause I was like, babes, there's plastic in everything. Everything you use is plastic in it. This isn't the thing to criticize. But just like the fact that it just went against their whole like no makeup shit. Mm-hmm. It just didn't fly. And they like very quietly retreated like Homer Simpson back into the bushes.
Also, I think this is beside the point for me, but just like the formulas were terrible.
Yeah.
Glossier has always been pretty solid, but that I remember.
The formulas it seemed very, like, very fastly, like, quickly executed and not well thought out. And I'm like, no, you can't do that.
Right. And this is also the thing. I'm sure that the brand is hearing this response and panicking, but they're also looking at the sales, which are allegedly...
Well, they said they were way better.
Way better. But... Yeah. In an industry that thrives on newness, a launch week doesn't equate sustained success.
Right.
So talk to me in a year, because I guarantee you, you are losing your core audience, the ones that have given you this success. And like
finding a new traitorous audience.
It's like, okay, they bought you this week,
but
next week Fleur's going to do something, and then Sniff's going to do something, and they don't give a fuck about you. And like, they care about the nudist, which is fine. Yeah. I'm not talking, you know.
Then it's just every other brand.
They are already every other brand. Right. And it sucks, man.
That's interesting that they also mentioned that they've been like hurting for the past 4 years when fragrance as a category has been rocketing up.
Yeah.
So I'm like, are you sure? Right?
I just think that there's just so many more. There's so much more competition. And everyone, I think our lovely caller mentioned Fleur and mentioned Sniff. I think what they're doing, maybe holistically Sniff more than Fleur, but I think Fleur has gotten there, is marketing fun products to cool people in a fun way without really tying them to any one mission. Because it's okay just to have a product. Like, frankly,
Fleur is like the newness brand to me, where it is something to click your nails against.
Yeah.
But that's also their lane. Been. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, it's interesting because the original Fleur.
Yeah.
In 2015 was like one of the first clean fragrance brands out there. And it was like way before their time.
Nobody cared. D2C fragrance.
And D2C as well. Nobody cared. I liked quite a lot of their scents.
I did too.
Hanami was one of my favorites. It's like their cherry blossom one.
Yep.
And it's funny because like their rebrand was basically, they got bought by this incubator. They installed Chrishell Lim as the founder, which I'm kind of like, is that correct? Because you didn't found the brand. You bought it.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's got to be a different name for that. Whatever. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Maybe just it sounds cooler. Also, it's like in 10 years, like who knows this brand? So you could ostensibly say you're the founder and nobody would know unless you're like us. Remember. But
remember.
Remember. But that rebrand to me is a buyout. It's different.
Yeah. And the thing that confuses me about that is
new people.
It's basically a brand new brand. Yeah. There is no tie back to the original, which is fine. That is a neutral statement. And I think Fleur now
is the name. It's like you bought the name, basically.
But like no one cared about the name. So I'm like, why even? Like,
that is interesting too. Yeah. I thought like, no one cared about the name. Like you didn't have this like.
Chrishell just could have worked with the incubator to start her own brand, which she is essentially, I don't know. Yeah. It's confusing, but I like Fleur. They're doing something right. Yeah. So I hate to come on this show and be a bummer, but a lot of, like you said, Sable, a lot of people have reached out to us about it. Mm-hmm. I think for obvious reasons, people have already popped their shit online about it, so we may be a little late to the party, but I didn't want to start running my mouth about it until I got here, because one, I wanted to talk about it with you, and this is the platform. It sucks, but can't trust any of them.
They're a brand,
exactly.
At the end of the day, they're a brand. And it's like, they're going to do what's in the best interest of themselves and their bottom line.
I am really wondering, though, what the future looks like. Oh, last thing. They keep saying that their fragrances are bigger and louder. Yeah. I'm like,
they were already so loud.
That was my thing. I was like, is it possible? Yeah, no. Like, candles, maybe. I was never upset with their candle throw, but like.
No, their fragrances were also, they always choked me out.
Those would beat your ass. Yeah. And I'm just like, how are you getting louder than this? I do think that they reformulated everything because the price is significantly lower. Really? I think it was like, were they like $110 or something? The EDPs?
I don't remember.
Now they're in around like that sweet $78 for Sephora. There was a reformulation happening. So these may be brand new fragrances. Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not really eager to smell them. Mm. I hope they don't show up now after all the shit I've talked about them. But
I'm curious to smell them just to get a fuller picture of what went into this rebrand. Mm-hmm. I have an idea based on the copy of what they smell like already.
Yeah.
But okay. That was like, what I loved about them is that they always had a unique, like, quirky take on scent. Violet Ends had been one of my favorites for a while, and I liked it because it was so interesting and unique and not what you'd expect.
Yeah.
And the wear was great too.
Yeah.
So something called Rosy Cheeks, like a fruity scent, I'm like, okay, if anyone would do a quirky take on fruity scents, like, sure, it would probably be Boy Smells. Yeah. What is that going to be? Although when I read that copy, I'm kind of like, okay, so this kind of smells like Ralph Lauren Blue and DKNY Be Delicious and all those things.
But when your copy, again, is like a nostalgic take on the Y2K, blah, 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 that's so now that it's already dated. Mm. And like when you relaunch a brand with copy that is one, just washed and two, dated, like you don't have a brand. And that is what is so upsetting, because Boy Smells always had such a strong, concise, loud perspective on who the fuck they were and who they were for. And now there is no brand. You just have fun bottles.
Yeah.
I hope it was worth it.
The numbers don't lie. You know what? They'll probably be really popular, honestly. It'll probably be people who just were not aware of the brand at all who are now like, Oh my God, Sugar Baby. That's so funny.
I have to wonder. I do have to wonder because...
It's just a new audience. They're courting a new audience.
Yeah, yeah. But with as loud as the fragrance community is being about this and with the way that social works, I do wonder how far that's going to bleed.
I feel like, I'm not a mathematician or an economist, but I feel like the diehard fragrance community, like they're not the people buying all the perfume that are raising all these spate trend reports and like percentages of YOY growth. They're not those people. It's the people who wander into Sephora. It's the people who see this shit in TikTok and just impulse purchase. It's the people who want to buy newness all the time.
Yeah. But newness is only new for a week.
Yeah.
And it's like, congrats on your first week.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was gratifying, but talk to me in a year. Talk to me at Pride.
Well, also, again, it's the price point matters. If you sell it under $100, you're going to get way more buys. Way more blind buys, way more repurchases, way more gifting. So
there's one.
You sell by volume.
Exactly. There's one quote in, it was either Beauty Independent or Glossy, where they talked about Sephora, as I mentioned, does have a sweet spot in like the 70-80 range of fragrances. Yep. And it's that perception of luxury when you've been told that all nice fragrances cost $350 and you walk in and see something much lower than that. That can be an impulse purchase for you. And that's how they move quite a bit of units there. And I realize that $78 is not an impulse purchase for many people, but in the larger Sephora landscape, sort of is.
I had this thought. I was like, Ulta never would have done this to you. But who knows? Who knows? I do feel like Ulta in general is a better market to be in just because they're just way more massive than Sephora, but Sephora has the prestige.
Yeah. There's also a quote in one of these that said, Sephora's biggest competitor, I'm going to botch this, so forgive me, but like Sephora's biggest competitor is TikTok Shop.
Oh, and I believe that
TikTok Shop is cannibalizing a lot of what their sales should be.
Yeah.
Fleur is available. Ooh, I think I'm not fucking this up when I say that Fleur is available on TikTok Shop, which they're not happy about, but their contract predates all of that. Mm. But Sephora wants exclusivity when it comes to retail and also TikTok. And
in that case, though, it's what are you good for, Sephora?
Right. But right now, Ulta is still outrunning TikTok Shop for now.
I believe that.
Which is Ulta has a great
like points program. Mm-hmm. And of course, now that they're online as well as like in every fucking suburb, it's like they just have the access points covered.
Ulta also, from an internal perspective, really nurtures brand relationships and really is helpful with the brand being in retail. They really want them to succeed, where Sephora will essentially, you get into Sephora and then they call the shots. They tell you what you're putting out. And if you don't acquiesce to that,
you in a little dark corner,
they'll cut you from their stock. Stores. So I don't know. This isn't the first brand we've seen it with. It's not the last, but it is the
I think Sephora bummer. Brands enter Sephora so it looks good when they're pitching to investors. That's my theory. Because other than that, I honestly don't see how it's advantageous compared to these other avenues.
I think the investors come way before Sephora, but that's really? Yeah. Yeah, because a lot of what investors do, again, investors
they help you get in,
aren't focusing on like the products you're releasing or the scents you're putting out. They're focusing on new business. They're focusing on new retail, new regions, like the money moves. Uh-huh. They're not focusing on like, the day-to-day dollar. They're focusing on how they got to be an investor, which is investing and getting super rich. They want to recreate that. So it's all about, can we get into the UK? Can we get into Asia to make the money moves? That's just me running my fucking mouth.
I think it's both. I think it's really expensive to go into Sephora for sure because they make you do all this shit that's expensive.
Yep.
But also it then if you're in Sephora and then you succeed, you can, what do you call it when you're like asking for more money? Series A, fundraise. Series B, whatever.
Yeah,
you can fundraise for even more money. You can say, we have Sephora and we have blah, 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 this percentage
growth. It's definitely
growth.
A good look and it's definitely a stage. When Glossier went into Sephora, that was like the biggest news in beauty because they were always like, we'll never do retail except our brick and mortars, blah, blah, blah. And now
they were just very controlling over like the customer experience. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, nah, we want that money.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, yeah.
Because they're trying to sell.
Yeah. Are they? I don't know. Also, I feel like there's so much like industry gossipy stuff. And I'm like, who cares?
I care.
Who cares who Glossier gets sold to? I'm not going to see any of this.
I love gossip of any sort.
I saw Glossier on 260 sample sale, that website.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which I was interested in. I was like, what? Like makeup.
260 sample sale is an online sample sale.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
Yeah. They have some makeup and they have some merch.
Merch makes sense. Does makeup make sense for a sample sale? I guess if it's not open.
I didn't get it, but I was like, okay, do you have so much cloud paint?
I probably do.
Yeah. Are there other rebrands that you think I've done it right?
That's a great question. Yeah, I mean, yeah, a rebrand is not inherently a bad thing, of course. It's usually quite exciting. This is way back, but DS and Durga.
I think they had a great. They're like such a good example, I think, of a really cool rebrand.
But I think it happened so long ago that people don't even realize.
That's true. I have never seen any of the old bottles.
My first Debaser bottle that I still have is the old one. Yeah. DS and Durga used to look very, I don't want to say artisanal.
They did. Because they came up in that like that hipster era of Brooklyn.
It was hipster. Yeah. It wasn't like Etsy, but it was very like.
Mason jars tarot as glasses. Card. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It was that. Very, and then they got.
Mumford and Sonsy.
That. Exactly. So then they got sexy. And I think that really helped them.
I love their new bottles.
I do too. I really do. They're very classic. Yeah. Or timeless rather.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fleur, of course, went through. Again, I don't even know.
They're a rebuy. They're a bio. Yeah. Like,
I don't know what to call
it. I don't
that.
Think I would call it a rebrand. I'd call that like. You bought it.
That's fair. That's fair. I wanted, I got it.
Mirza Zappas. Yeah.
I think that scale is quite different just because she is so bootstrapping
it still. Yeah, she's doing everything herself.
Exactly.
As far as I know, I think it was new bottles and like a new website design, I think.
Okay.
But that's
it. But again, it's sort of apples to oranges with her, respectfully.
Yeah, that's true. Like the messaging's the same. Like if anything... I feel like maybe she had like more budget now to be like, I can get the bottles I want to communicate my aesthetic more clearly. Yeah.
That's a great question. What else?
This isn't fragrance, but there was like Make Beauty, which is also a buyout.
Okay.
I feel like there's all of the drugstore brands who changed their packaging.
That I feel is more of a, it's less of a moment, more of a process
that's
though,
true.
You know?
The Net rebrand.
That's not a rebrand though. Those are just new bottles. I think that's made a good point of what's a refresh and what's a rebrand. Yeah,
they just colored the bottles.
And I would almost guarantee you that was a Sephora thing as well.
I think so. For sure. I think so. They're just like, you need to stand out more.
Yeah. I do like the new bottles though.
Yeah.
You know who does need a rebrand? I say this very respectfully.
What?
Dead Cool. Oh. Or not a rebrand. They just need new bottles. I'm sick of looking at that fucking barcode. Get it together. We want beauty.
They look to me almost like a Y2K cyber aesthetic of the future as interpreted by binary code.
Mm.
I would like to see different bottle shapes.
I just want a different label. Their brand is so beautiful, but it's not like, I hate those goddamn bottles. This is what I was trying to say. I'm pointing at you. I don't know why. you know how I said that boy smells sort of social visual language last year started to look different and very Y2K?
Okay.
You know who is doing that exact same thing? Glossier.
Oh.
I have noticed in the last couple of months, it's been very Y2K leaning, very pixelated, little characters, blah, blah, blah. And it feels, Glossier's branding has always been so tight.
Yeah.
And it feels like not a huge departure, but any departure for Glossier is huge.
Right.
And I don't see them rebranding anytime soon. No. I think it's still pretty cohesive and tight, but it does feel every time they release something new, I think it started with the strawberrybalm.com and then progress I was like, what is going on here? But the Fleur campaign was stunning and very, that feels like an evolution of the brand. Whereas like the Y2K shit feels like a departure.
Yes, I agree.
I love being big brand.
No, I don't know if this is a rebrand or just a new collection, but have you seen Hawthorne's like surround scent stuff?
Yes. And I agree with you.
It's cool. And it's interesting. And I do feel like this falls more in line with their aesthetic of being like, downtown New York City.
Yeah.
And I wonder if this is, will the bottles look like this from now on?
That's a great point and a great question.
I want to smell them.
Too. Are you going to that event?
Yeah.
Cool. Me too. I don't know what it is.
They implied that these are bigger scents.
Okay.
They're like more surround scent. So it's more ambient and punchier.
I think it's giving new collection. I also think that they are a brand.
I want them to rebrand.
I think that they have the luxury of their brand being pretty minimal.
Yeah.
So they can grow the brand in this way.
Their scents are so good. Yeah. And I feel like the square bottle with the paper label doesn't serve that as much.
Yeah, I agree. I guess like to catch the listener up, Hawthorne's new collection and campaign is very full of color and new design. But I think when you start so minimal, you can play in that space and
bring that in without
it feeling so, so different.
Yeah.
So I think they can walk their way into a nice little rebrand without it being like whatever the
Not
fuck
a big
this
deal.
Is.
They don't have to make like a whole announcement of it. Exactly. I think they can just organically shift.
Yeah.
Which is cool because I'm also like, oh, this probably means you're doing well if you have the resources to do this. So I'm glad to see that.
I also wonder, is that going to show up in Target or is that going to be D2C?
I don't know. I feel like their Target is like the body stuff. Their Target line is like all of the hand soaps, all the body washes, all the candles, and that does well for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that probably keeps them afloat to be able to fund doing cool, interesting stuff with their fragrances, which like might remain D2C because they're not as like commercially, universally commercial, which like I don't think they should be.
Yeah.
I think you should have a clear point of view with fragrance, especially. So that's cool.
I love seeing them in Target. I'm like, those are my friends. Yeah.
Also, their scents are just really good. They're really like all the body good. Shit, all the hand soap. Yeah. Hand soap's good.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
I feel like we're solid.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of Glossier, we had one response to our last discussion on Flair.
Hi, Sable and Tynan. Just want to say first that I love your podcast. It's something I really look forward to listening to every week or every other week, depending on when you guys record. Okay, but I did want to say that when it comes to Glossier Floor, I stand by Sable in that I feel like it smells very similar to the original Glossier U. To me, like, I don't even know if it lists woody notes, but it smells like almost a combo of Glossier U and what's the other woody one? Do. Yeah, you do. But it's the pink pepper, which, again, I don't even know if it's in the pyramid for Floor, but, like, that pink pepper is what really makes me feel like it's super similar to Glossier U. So sorry, Tynan. But anyways, thank you guys so much, and I hope you have a good day. Bye.
Oh, thank you so much for calling into our hotline to tell me I'm wrong. What? Hello? Hello? You're wrong. I disagree with you. I'm right.
I disagree with you. Disagree with me.
I do. I remain right. Y'all can stay mad. Flair is sweet and creamy and lovely and nothing like the flop you. God. Listeners are so ungrateful. We're throwing you a free event and this is how you repay us?
Oh, my God.
Nasty.
This is in jest, mind you. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for calling in. We do appreciate it.
Yeah.
I support freedom of speech of all kinds.
Yes, we support freedom of speech. This is a First Amendment podcast.
Yes.
Aren't, I suppose all podcasts are.
Unfortunately, we have freedom of speech.
Anyway, I'm curious if anyone likes the Boysmells rebrand. I would love to hear a defense. And you can tell us.
And it's like, it's okay to like it.
Yeah.
Especially aesthetically. Aesthetically, it doesn't do anything for me one way or the other.
Sure, sure, sure.
It's when it's missing the soul of the brand that I start getting pissed off, which I am, if that wasn't quite clear.
But yeah, please tell us your thoughts in a voice note, which you can find at our website, smellyoulater.live. You can follow us on Instagram at smellyoulater.mp3. I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. See you May 7th. And until next time, we will smell you later.